Mella.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to
the Intersectional Yoginis Podcast.
Join us as we explore a variety of topics that impact us as women of color through a yogic lens.
Hope you don't mind irreverence and me cursing like a sailor.
Sprinkled in with a little satire and sass.
A little?
Well, we cover serious subjects that are important to us.
So if you're curious, keep listening.
Namaste.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, yogis and yoginis.
How are you guys? How are you, Hannah?
I'm good.
So. Second episode, really, right?
Yes.
Okay, second. Nice. Again, second in official. This, where are we? Tell us.
So we are at Latinx Therapy. Mm-hmm. Here in the little podcast room. Filled in this space with also other therapy rooms for counseling because mental health is necessary. I think this is personal opinion.
Biased a little bit.
Yes. But something I wanted to touch on from our last episode. So last episode, we were talking about the Ho'oponopono meditation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't exactly describe what Ho'oponopono means. Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that Ho'oponopono was the version of the whole, like, meditation in its original language. But it is, in fact, the title of mm-hmm. the meditation.
Yeah.
And then what we recited.
Yes.
Was in English, but we never said it in Hawaiian.
Yes.
So Ho'oponopono is the title, and it means what?
So the Hawaiian word of ho means to make. And pono means right. So the repeated word pono pono means doubly right. So when you put it together, it's basically being right with both the self and others. So it's coming into connection with ourselves and with others so that we can find that unity in us.
Very Yom Kippur-ish.
Would you think it? That? To be honest, I'm not sure.
Because Yom Kippur is about that. It's about making amends with others that you have hurt in the year that passed and reflect on your actions and start anew.
Okay. Yay! This mm-hmm. all aligns.
And this just happened Monday. Was Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, so the Ho'oponopono, which means to make doubly right, the actual meditation is when you're going in and saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you. I thank you. So anyway, I just wanted to touch base on that because we said it last episode, but mm-hmm. I want to give you guys a little background.
There were a few inaccuracies, but now we know.
Yes, now we know. So now there you are, yogis and yoginis. If you want to know more, yeah, that's it.
If you wanted to know. So dude, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so something that you had, well, there's a couple of things I would like you to explain a little bit more to me because you talked about this idea of, is it vegan washing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've never heard of this.
Okay.
And so I thought maybe it'd be a good idea that we start by even simply just defining the word privilege.
Yeah.
Because that goes into then the whole idea of vegan washing, mm-hmm. but also even just the word intersectional.
Yeah. Exactly. Where it comes from, who mm-hmm. coined that is very important, mm-hmm. very important woman. So we can start with defining privilege.
Yeah. I think that would be a good place to start.
Okay, from the dictionary, Oxford.
Yes.
It says a special right, so not a right, a special right, mm-hmm. advantage or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group. And the example is education is a right, not a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is something regarded as a special honor. I have the privilege of awarding you this scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
could be another.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's privilege. Because lately I've been hearing this phrase tossed around about how being vegan is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And I mm-hmm. would like to give y'all my 2 cents on
yes,
that.
Yes, we love your 2 cents. I do.
Yay. Okay, so we'll go back to that. And then the other thing was intersectionality, right?
Yes. Because that's our title. And so the intersectional yoginis, I too didn't even know this word until you told me about it.
Yeah.
But it felt to me like, oh yeah, this is just something so important that I live based on my lifestyle that you also live. And so that's why we came together bringing the title, The Intersectional Yoginis. But I thought it's probably good to define intersectional as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the term was coined by Kimberly Crenshaw. Look her up. You should all know who she is. She's an outstanding Black woman. But she, it came from the this phenomenon, and I want to read you like the definition from like the dictionary or like Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically brings light to the fact that you have within the privileges and the ways you can be oppressed or have privileges, there can be a combination of both. So you can be not only white, but a white, cis, straight man. Mm-hmm. All those privileges intersect to give you the most privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
also it works the opposite way. It's yeah. like an oppressed, feeling the blank.
Groups. Yeah, yeah.
Always feeling the blank. Yeah, you can be a woman, but you're not going to be, it's not the same being a white woman than a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same if you're also part of a queer community on top of all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a very good example in one of, I don't know if there's one or more, but I've watched one Kimberly Crenshaw's TED Talk.
Okay.
And she talks about an example whereas a Black woman sued a company for not hiring her because she was a Black woman.
Okay.
And the owner of a company, his excuse was like, it's not true. I'm not racist. Look, I have all of these men working here in the factory, so I'm not racist. And I'm also not sexist because I have all of these women working as secretaries and what's the word?
Receptionists. Yeah, assistants at the front. Yeah.
At the front.
Mm-hmm.
But the Black people working in the factory were all men, and the women working in the front were all white. So she was being discriminated by being Black and a woman.
Right.
And because they weren't laws about that consider intersectionality, she lost the case because, in fact, the dude was not being sexist or only sexist only racist.
Yeah.
But what, in fact, he was being both.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the double whammy made her lose at the time. So. Exactly. Okay.
So,
okay.
And the definition is intersectionality is a theoretical framework for understanding how aspects of a person's social and political identities, example, gender, sex, race, class, sexuality, religion, disability, physical appearance, height, etc., combine to create unique modes of discrimination and privilege. It identifies advantages and disadvantages that are felt by people due to a combination of factors. And then it goes and goes, like talking about examples. So I think it's very important that we, first of all, like recognize where the term comes from, because it actually comes from a Black woman that has done a lot of social justice and anti-racist work.
Yeah.
And how it links, how do you think, like to you, once I explain the term, how do you think it links to us or the name?
I mean, I think that, you know, first hearing the term, it makes me go to like what other things intersect, right? Because just that general intersection, I think about like therapy. Like you did not get into my office because, well, and maybe, you know, there are exclusions. There are this, whatever, 1% that this led to this. And that's why I'm in therapy. But most of the time, it's all these combinations of factors that came together to now why you have depression, why you have anxiety, why you have PTSD, all these things. So like that just in general, bringing the intersections together of all these different things explains the problem, right? And so that's what comes to my mind first of all. And then thinking about like me or us is like we are in all these different avenues of being women, and then for us being Latinas, you know, for you being an immigrant.
Mm-hmm. And fat.
Yes. Yes,
and
absolutely.
And a fat yogi and a fat dancer.
Yeah. So then you bring
an
that
actress,
in.
Fat actress. It's a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, I can skirt away with that, right? Because of how I'm built, being a yogi, being all these things. But I too sometimes face like that ageism because of how mm-hmm. I look.
I've experienced
yes,
that. I have
you
a
too.
Baby face.
Yeah,
I'm 38,
absolutely.
So it doesn't. Now it's like ma'am. People are memming me a lot more. Mm-hmm. So I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, you better the fuck call me ma'am. But yeah, all through my life, ageism was yeah. a thing. Condescendence.
Yes.
On top of being a woman.
On
it
top
was like,
of being.
No, little girl, this is not.
Yeah.
This. So the mansplaining was like all the charts, mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. the time. And I'm like, I'm fucking 21, dude. What the fuck are you talking
mm-hmm.
about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just all of that, the color of the skin, it's like all these assumptions are made.
Yeah, colorism.
Mm-hmm. All these things. So I think it comes together. And then when you bring it in the yoga community, I feel that there's such an image of what, I mean, it's changing a little bit now, I think, especially because of Black Lives Matter and that movement. But very much there was these poster images of what a yogi should look like, what body type, having to be flexible, you know, so
what
then.
Color? What
yeah,
what
color,
yeah. Economic
yeah,
strategy.
Who can even access yoga? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You have to have a certain budget, mm-hmm. whatever the case. So I think we actually run into all these intersections that come together that are like, okay, well, this is my experience. Like, this is my worldview now. This is all the things that I have to deal with.
And also just the word yoga, that means union, which mm-hmm. means that all life intersects.
Mm-hmm.
All life, the life of the universe as a whole, mm-hmm. the life of every planet, mm-hmm. the lives of every different species in the planet, like,
yeah,
it's all the same.
Yeah, yeah, we're all coming together.
We're all connected.
Absolutely.
Whether we like it or not. And our actions can be detrimental or they can be, what's the opposite of that?
Like positive.
Positive.
Yeah.
English is my second language, guys. yeah. So, and also taking also this, the root, the main definition of the word, which comes from social justice and mm-hmm. from being aware of groups that are oppressed. Because I feel like also another thing is that any social justice movement has to come, or I don't want to say has to come, but ideally would come, or at least for me, where I feel mm-hmm. like I have a lot of privileges as well. I try to do justice with putting my privilege at the front, like thinking about, like being grateful
yeah,
for
absolutely.
My privilege, as
absolutely.
Opposed to being like, oh, I'm oppressed because of this, or this, or this, or this.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
instead looking at, oh, what the fuck? Like, oh yeah, I'm a woman, but look at these women.
Mm-hmm.
And not only in other parts of the world, but like here. Just being like, dude, and bringing a light to that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
My feminism,
mm-hmm.
being intersectional,
mm-hmm.
and being like, oh, like, forget about me, guys. Like, I'm just a light-skinned Mexican, whatever. But
yeah.
look at this.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then coming back to what you were explaining, the vegan
mm-hmm.
washing.
Mm-hmm, the vegan washing. Okay, I can explain what that is. So just as like this green washing and this white washing, I've heard the vegan washing thing, which is just like we were talking about yoga, how this like idea that it is, there's this image of how yoga is basically bullshit because
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
this image exists.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not representative, really,
yeah.
of the community. It's just like an image that white people have
right.
put
Which,
in front and made like a trend.
To make it mainstream, to bring it
to
into
make,
the
yeah.
West, to be like, oh, this is an exercise.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
look at,
mm-hmm.
like, you're going to look
yeah,
like this,
fitness.
After, yeah,
uh-huh.
practicing
yeah. And then
yoga.
Also, even the veganism, it's like, it's to be skinny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Barely not. So it's like the washing of the image with personal, economical, or political, what's the word? I'm translating
status?
From Spanish.
Yeah. Socioeconomic status?
No, like ends, like what you want to achieve.
Oh, goals?
Goals, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So depending on like, so you watch the term with your own...
Like goals in mind or your goals own in like mind, prerogative.
Whether they're like personal, economic, or political mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. veganism. So basically you use the movement of veganism to get like a, something from it. Okay. So you wash it to make it look a certain way so people either subscribe to it or reject it because it works both ways.
Mm.
So from big companies mm-hmm. that make something like, they don't really care about non-human animal liberation, but sure. they would still start making products
that are vegan
to just like to make money.
The consumerism uh-huh. of
when
it.
When at the same time, they're like killing non-human animals and they're mm-hmm. like
or testing on them
or testing what? Yeah exactly
yeah yeah
so like from there to even well this is a very critical this poster particular criticizes the state of Israel. I don't know a lot about it, but this is what the mm-hmm. post says, that as a state there's like sometimes propaganda to project a positive image of the state mm-hmm. and justify the oppression and genocide that's happening towards mm. Palestine
okay
community. I mean, I'm just reading. I don't know a lot about it because they paint this picture of how like Tel Aviv is like the best vegan city.
Okay.
And it's like when in fact, and they say that their army is the most moral of the world because they wear synthetic boots.
Okay.
When in fact, the reality says like the official statistics show that Israel is always amongst the four countries that consume the most non-human animals in the world,
oh.
like meat consumers in the world, and with chicken being at the top of the list.
Wow.
So that's just like an example of it. They use animals to attack. So basically when they attack Palestinian people, they also attack their animals. There's a lot of like animal torture.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, it's like this, the same as yoga and the same as the low-waste or eco-friendly mm-hmm. movement, mm-hmm. that there's these companies that are like, oh, yeah, buy all of these things to be zero waste and you're helping the planet. When yeah. in reality, it's like, that's not sustainable. That's just consumerism. And mm-hmm. being low-waste or zero-waste is against being consumerist.
Right.
Like, being in that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just like... I've encountered a lot of debates online where it's like, being vegan is a privilege. Not everyone can be vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just whitewashed. You were brainwashed by capitalism and white people mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. this and that. When the reality is that the majority, and I have the statistics here, that about who is vegan, at least mm-hmm. in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, spoiler alert, it's not the rich.
Yeah.
And it's not the white.
Yeah. Yeah.
In reality.
Didn't you send it?
Yeah, I sent it to you. But it's basically the more people that are being vegan in the United States earn less than $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
And that is...
Which is insane.
7%. Mm-hmm. And then in the next bracket, we have 50 to 70,000. That's the 2%. People between $475,000 and $1 million, no, $100,000 and $475,000 are 1.3%. And then the ones that are above $100,000, those are 2%. So basically mm-hmm. like 50 and 70 and over 100 are in the same like 2% of people.
Yeah.
But the ones that earn less than 50 are in the 7%.
Mm-hmm.
So this is by income groups in the United States. And I found this is a comment, so it's not like, I actually, we did have this article about how also like this is another statistic, like how black people, the amount of black people that is vegan is like mm-hmm. 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like compared to like white people,
yeah.
it's just like 4% or something, mm-hmm. shit like that. So
yeah.
in reality, I just want to say, and you can follow so many accounts on Instagram. You can find so many people that are intersectional. Environmentalist is one, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of black people that are behind the intersectional environmental movement and the vegan movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're not in the poster for veganism or mm-hmm. environmentalism doesn't mean that they're not doing the work.
Right.
Because we need to remember that global warming and pollution and all of those things that are related to the environment
mm-hmm.
affect first and foremost people of color.
Yeah.
Marginalized people. So really, with what you're eating, you're affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, on top of that, most of the people of color and marginalized people that are being affected by mm-hmm. the changes in the environment and the pollution and all that are women.
Yes. Yes. Which
almost
is
80%.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Oof.
So if you're... So there was also this debate in like this feminist account, mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm not going to swallow this bullshit that if you're not vegan, you're not a feminist, because I can be a feminist without subscribing to that bullshit idea, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And then it started going into like, and also being vegan is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And what so I want to say is like, wait, actually, what is privilege? Like eating, first of all, eating, not being vegan, but like eating is a right.
Yeah.
It's not a privilege.
Right. It's
not everyone has that right.
Right.
But it's not, that doesn't make it a privilege.
Right.
Because I'm not oppressing anyone
mm-hmm.
by eating, or I'm not subscribing to a system that oppresses someone else. I'm not taking something from someone
mm-hmm.
when I am vegan.
Right.
You do it when you eat animals, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And obviously... That doesn't, I mean, I say obviously, but I feel like people just focus on the fact that not everyone has the choice of what to eat. Yes, I agree
right.
with that.
Absolutely.
So that would be the privilege, to be mm-hmm. able to choose what to put in your plate.
Mm-hmm. Right, which we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
If you don't have that,
mm-hmm.
I'm not talking to you. I'm not preaching to you.
Right.
I'm not preaching veganism to you. You probably don't even have access to the internet and you're not looking at my Instagram account.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not saying that to people that can barely eat or that don't have a choice on what they eat. And also I'm not saying that to people that as part of their native traditions and rituals eat meat sometimes
yeah.
or like hunt their things.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
they're not subscribing to the whole, like, industry.
Right,
and
right.
when it comes to only... That would be, like, putting my faith or, like, my views upon, like, compassion on someone else. And no. But facts.
Yeah.
So if you don't want... If you don't care about compassion and if you don't believe in... Well, that's not actually not something you believe in. It's, like, a thing, but... Speciesism.
Mm.
All oppressions come from the same thing. From some group thinking they're superior to the other one.
Right.
From men thinking they're superior to women.
Mm-hmm.
White people thinking they're superior to people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Rich people thinking they're superior to poor people. Like,
mm-hmm.
all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Veganism is the same. It's like humans thinking they're superior to other animals, to non-human
mm-hmm.
animals.
Right.
That's the definition of supremacy, and that's oppression.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're not aware of that as a... In your social justice work, if you're not even aware of that, be aware of that.
That's why we're here
only,
telling you.
Not only aware, but like denying, you know, like denying the facts because you have this idea that, oh no, that's a white bullshit thing.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
like wake up. That's not a thing. It's the poster that actually the one that's being brainwashed right now. It's you,
mm-hmm.
motherfucker. So... I don't know, I have a lot more to say, but, like, just keep... Please, interject.
Well,
until I start not making sense.
Right, no. But I do think it is important to really consider how big of a choice this is when you do have the privilege of choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because then, like, for instance, I'm vegan by choice. I'm not vegan because I'm lactose intolerant
mm-hmm.
or have... an allergy to something or can't.
Or the doctor prescribed
it. Or the doctor, yeah. Or the doctor said you need this diet because of your health condition.
Because also it doesn't reduce the diet.
Right.
It's the whole thing.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's a political stance.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, I think the choice aspect really does bring, it can bring this sense of empowerment, right? Like, I don't have anything going against me. I'm actively making this choice to take a stand to be vegan. And it's not just the vegan diet. It's living a vegan lifestyle, having a vegan outlook, looking into even the products I'm purchasing, looking into the way companies are creating what they're creating. You know what I mean? And then going forward and moving forward with the people who, or the companies who I'm aligned to, because they are also considering those same things. And so for me, like when you're talking about compassion, it's like, at the end of the day, yes, compassion for me is the underlying factor of everything. And it's like, if you take a yogic outlook on this, the first yama is ahimsa, which ahimsa, that Sanskrit word, translates to non-harming. And in yoga, that's the first and most important principle. Like in India, you had to master all the yamas and niyamas before you were even allowed to practice asana. The physical asana. So
yeah, asana is like the sixth or fifth or I don't know, third?
It's the third. It's the third limb out of the eight yeah. limbs of
like
yoga.
Yamas is the first. Niyamas are the second. Yeah. Asanas are the third. Yeah. So once you supposedly master the first two, then you're like, okay, now you I can teach you
practice the physical.
Yeah.
Yeah, yoga. So it's like, in the Western society, we have skipped over yamas and niyamas completely. It's rarely talked about even what the yamas and niyamas are, which that can be a different conversation. But the first yama is ahimsa, non-harming. And that goes to everything. That goes to yourself. Don't harm yourself. Others, don't harm others. But that also goes to the animals. That also goes to this planet. That also goes to the way you're speaking. Even what you're digesting food-wise, what you're digesting with music, with entertainment, with all of these different things.
With the people you surround yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it all comes back to, if you're hurting others, you're hurting yourself, because we're all connected.
Right. Yes.
So you're always hurting yourself if you're hurting.
Yeah.
So why do you want
because,
to do
that? Because, and with that aspect, it's like, right? Energy is not created, nor is it destroyed. It's just transferred. So it's like, if you, not you, but
if one,
whoever is eating meat that is dead muscle tissue of an animal. So it's like, what was the energy from the animal right before it dies? That energy is now carried into, this is my belief.
Well, this is karma. Like, but, what are you energetically, what are you eating?
Eating, what are you taking in?
Torture and death.
And it's like, no wonder I have people sitting in my mental health, you know, in the mental health world that are dealing with depression, they're dealing with anxiety, they're dealing with all of these issues around suffering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I guess my point is just like, to summarize that part, it's like, what's a privilege is having to choose. And if you're choosing meat, that would be the privilege, because you are oppressing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a privilege
to
eat.
If you think a non-human animal is a thing, that's where the issue lies. Because in the intersectionality of social justice, and not social, but like, I want to say global justice, or just justice in general, why aren't you considering the voiceless?
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting too, because the more we educate around this, or even just having this stance of this vegan outlook, it's like, okay, 2 points here I want to make. First, like, if we keep going with that underlying compassion and keeping that drive going, I feel like that outlook then gets spread to, like, your social circles. Like, for me, for instance, I started eating vegan almost 4 years ago. And now I have a lot of my friends reach out to me and be like, hey, like, I'm finally trying, like, vegan options, or I'm trying to cut meat out 5 out of 7 days a week, or whatever the case. And I'm like, yes, like, this is amazing, because it's slowly becoming, or bringing the awareness of, like, hey,
just
you
by
can
your
choose
example,
different.
Just by your example and your life, you are affecting your, by changing yourself, mm-hmm. you can change other people.
Right.
Which is kind of like a passive way mm-hmm. to change your
mm-hmm.
environment, like mm-hmm. make bigger changes, mm-hmm. but not as passive because you're actively doing a change on yourself. You educate yourself in the subject. You thought mm-hmm. about it. You made the right adjustments mm-hmm. and you're doing it.
Yeah. And I talk about too, how this is a choice for me. Mm-hmm. I'm actively choosing mm-hmm. not
every,
to
every
eat
day, every
any
meal.
Animal product. Mm-hmm. I'm actively looking into other ways that I can sustain nutrition for my body so that I don't just follow the whatever normal triangle of food groups and you mm-hmm. have to eat this to be healthy. No, there are other ways. And two, point two, is that like, what are the animals eating?
Yeah.
The vegetables, you know, they are eating plant-based.
I mean, let's talk about like in real life, we eat the herbivores, which are the most like, let's say like noble ones, like the mm-hmm. sheep, mm-hmm. the chicken, the cow. They eat herbs. Mm-hmm. We can just eat herbs instead of eating the animals. We can eat algae and spirulina, which mm-hmm. is algae, right?
Yeah.
Instead of eating the fish, because you're eating it already like broken down through an animal.
Yeah.
You could just go to the source.
Right. Instead of having a middleman.
instead of having a middleman that you're killing. And also like killing in mass, because this is not like Paleolithic times when we're like hunting an animal once every I don't know how many months, and then you
use all of it.
All of it. Yeah. And then it feeds your whole village.
Yeah. That's not what we're talking about.
This is not how it is today. Mm-hmm. It just has repercussions, not only in the amount of suffering, but in the environment mm-hmm. and marginalized and already communities that are marginalized and poor mm-hmm. and in yourself, in your physically and spiritually mm-hmm. and emotionally, because they're all linked.
Yes.
And I was thinking about another thing while you were talking and then I totally forgot.
Oh.
You're like, yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
no,
do it.
It
escaped. Maybe it'll float back. Who knows?
But yeah, I've had experiences too where like now all my friends know that if we're going out, it needs to be someplace with like vegan options. Mm-hmm. And by that, same. I don't mean like, oh, one fucking bowl
salad.
Of lettuce with nothing tomato. On it. With like half a tomato.
Yeah.
No, there needs to be vegan options, not mm-hmm. make something vegan, meaning removing stuff that's going to make it tasteless. Mm-hmm. No, I mean like they know how to mm-hmm. feed vegan people, mm-hmm. keeping the fucking flavor. Because come on, like the fact that I'm vegan doesn't mean like I don't like food. Yeah, I don't like taste anymore, guys. You can just feed me like whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
No. This body like needs... Substance.
The food.
Yeah,
yes.
The food. Yes. The taste. And same with like reunions or whatever. Like we make it in a way where it's like all of the sides are vegan. Mm-hmm. And then just their main cruel dish is theirs. Mm-hmm. And then I can bring my vegan entree.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and too, it's like it's not that hard to substitute butter for an
vegan
oil.
Butter. Or oil.
Or vegan butter. Yeah. Oh, they make both. You have it all.
Yeah, because you go to the market and it's right there. If you're just going to reach for something, let's say processed.
Sure.
Because what we're talking about, like, convenience, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to reach your hand, you're going to move your hand in the aisle, and you're going to get protein powder, move it a few centimeters. I'm Mexican, so I do metric. Move it a few centimeters and just reach... for the vegan one, it's healthier. Mm-hmm. I don't know about prices. I'm sure there could be a difference.
Yeah.
But I feel like there are choices.
Yes.
And also, if you're doing that vegan powder, I'm thinking, well, it might be because you want to look a certain way. And let's not even get into that because that's not health. Looking a certain way is not health. Mm-hmm. Feeling a certain way, yes. If you really are doing it for health, why would you choose whey, which is fucking pus, instead of pea protein mm-hmm. or whatever
hemp
vegan
or,
protein
yeah.
you can find? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're actually doing it for health reasons and not for aesthetic reasons. If you truly care about your health, why don't you choose? And in those things, that is just like, you're not gonna even have to change your whole like mindset and your whole routine, and you're not gonna have to meal prep, like in just convenient ways. You can, if you're already gonna like choose butter, move your hand a few centimeters and just reach for the vegan butter, or just stick to the oils.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it really is, it's just deconstructing the programming, right? Because we have such old habitual ways of, say, eating, because that's how we were raised or that's what we grew up on. And a lot of times the food that we eat also has an emotional component tied to it.
And a social one.
If and you're a social,
like,
yeah.
Especially like people of color, that we're more probably more like, let's sit at the table and like make the eating a whole experience.
Yeah.
And like talk over everyone and share, like family style. But as you change, because people love you, they become aware.
Right.
I mean, if you are surrounded by assholes, it could be like family or, quote, friends, unquote, then why are you even with them? Like, let's start there. Like, why are you surrounding yourself with, like, toxic people or assholes if they're, like, mean to you? If they love you and care about you, they're going to care about you.
They'll consider
starving to death.
Yeah, and they'll also consider you.
They'll consider you. And also, they're, I mean, my sister is now becoming, she wants to slowly become vegan. So she's starting to like be vegetarian.
Yeah.
Like going into that.
Yay.
I'm like, I want to do it at my own pace. I'm like, do it.
Good.
And like this past winter break that I was home, I brought my own food. Like for the dishes to be like, oh, let's have the same. If you guys are eating like turkey, I'm going to bring my like tofurkey.
Yeah.
If you guys are going to have like lasagna, I'll bring my vegan cheese. But I try to make it into like, if this is lasagna, let's all eat the vegan cheese one. Like, why are we eating the
separate
other one?
So
I bring, like, the thing for, like, most of us to make, like, all the sides vegan. And then they just have, like, their entree. And, I mean, I feel like the next step would be, like, I don't even want to sit on the table and have a fucking dead turkey in front of me. But I feel like that'll take.
Sometimes. Yeah.
There's this, like, vegan pledge that people are pledged not to sit.
Oh, really?
Where they're dead. Actually, when I said that, my sister said, how intolerant. I'm like, no. No, actually, tolerance of intolerance is intolerant. Tolerance of racism is racism. So if you tolerate cruelty, you're cruel. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to tolerate those things. It's actually, there's actually an article about this. If we were tolerant to, like, the bad things, then we would all be assholes.
Yeah, or, like, it would keep going.
Yeah. So there's this, like, it's called the tolerance. What is it? How do you call it when you're, it's like a, it's not conundrum, it's like another word. That I can, there's an article about that. Like, I can't hear the word because I forget words all the time. Because I know 2.5 languages. And then sometimes I forget it
lost.
In one language. And sometimes I just forget it in all of them. Because, like, my words are, like, kind of, like, jumping in my brain. But, yeah, I mean, that's veganism for us.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean, so much more about, so much, but I forgot. I just,
all the things. all the things. But, yeah, I just thought that was topic, the vegan wash, because I'd never heard it. So it was interesting to kind of just learn about how, you know, like said companies put it out there, vegan, la, 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 but that's not, like, how they actually operate kind of thing. Which, I mean, for me, makes me really want to look into what I buy, what I consume, and how they operate, because that all is transferred through the product they make. Well, their ideas coming down to the consumer level, and then I buy it, which is basically using my dollar to vote
exactly
for their opinions and the way they do things.
Yeah. So that's why it's like, the more you can do farmers supporting local businesses, do it. Otherwise, really, like, go through, like, this. I do, like, Imperfect Foods, which used to be vegan. It used to be Imperfect Produce. Now it's, and now they say they parts and secretion. But I still, it's like,
yeah.
things that were
right, that look imperfect, waste. That the grocery store wouldn't take because it's not the perfect potato or whatever.
Oh, and then I remember what I was going to touch on, which actually I said on the last post, and it was how we are aware that there are systems working, intersecting, that are not ethical, and that it is, you could say, impossible to live an ethical life while you're in, but that doesn't, it's, that's not a pass for you to make.
Right.
That's not a pass to choose the more ethical option.
Yeah, it's not an excuse. Yeah.
Because let's say we, I think we said that last time too, like, let's say we like, oh yeah, we dismantle all the systems of oppressions, yay, but we're fucking assholes, whoa. Then what's the point? It needs to be both. Our work in you, individual changes, according to your possibilities and resources, at the same time that you're aware and actively uniting force to fight the systems that you are forced to operate.
Participate in. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. I forgot. Yeah. Retaining ideas.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I blank too.
Brain fart.
Yeah, it's like the noise outside. I'm like, is that picking up?
Can you hear what? Because I'm like partly.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. My hearing is not the best.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure. Picking it up.
Yeah.
So maybe we pause here.
You guys will hear me. but yeah, I mean, let us know what you think about this. Let us know if you, I mean, it's just hard to not be preachy and like the preachy, annoying vegan, because I know that with my example, I can announce and ones that surround me. But also it's hard to not speak up for what we know that we know some people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, what you eat, if you're participating in that, it affects me. Me being vegan, or being annoying about being vegan, doesn't affect you as much as you being a carnist affects me and the future generation. So let's say that.
So there we have it, yogis
there
and yogis.
There we have it. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, let us know. I mean, we're always also happy to share recipes or like substitutions.
Yeah, or ideas. Like
that. But also it's just the mindset of like, you're not restricting your diet. Like, trust us when we say you're not restricting your diet. You're adding so many things, so many new things. I've tried and incorporated so many new things to my diet. And not only diet, but like in my makeup products and in my just like daily care products. And now I'm like, what was that?
Yeah.
It was like just toxins and I was putting shit on me and in me.
Yeah.
And now much less.
Yeah.
And the karma is
all less. Well, and it's just like, and the gratitude that how many we have now. I'm like, I'm so grateful to be in LA where I know for sure every like, absolutely. You can't really, I really don't know a place, you know, so. Oh,
there are.
Well.
You, but like,
yeah,
we don't even go there.
But it doesn't even, it's not on the radar.
Yeah, it's not even on the radar.
Whereas like other places I know there may, it's hard to find a restaurant that would accommodate.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
even right now that I moved to Burbank, because we were in North Hollywood, and North Hollywood is a very friendly neighborhood. Burbank,
it's a little
not
different.
That much.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, except
know
for
either.
Yummy cupcakes, which you have to try.
So
and also, we have Fresh Brothers. It's not, both are not exclusively have that vegan, like, oh, basically everything's vegan unless to decide to add death to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the cupcakes doesn't like, oh, the
chocolate
cupcake.
Or like
and
the
it's
one
always
vanilla.
Fucking
yeah.
red velvet. I hate, I don't care for red velvet. I do not care. Like, red. I,
coconut, peanut butter. I mean,
yeah,
we freaking love them.
Or like cinnamon.
Yeah, it's so
coconut,
good.
Coconut, banana.
Yeah.
Change the
they have like
flavors.
Espresso one. Yeah, they change it all the time. It's always like, oh, what
yeah,
are the vegan options?
What's the vegan option today? And also, like, you hear so many people that make like pop-ups or vegan market, vegan or the vegan street, whatever
street
that hasn't
yeah.
been happening. And that are also people of color, like the Gatinos. They're not operating right now because of COVID. I don't know if they will again, but that's another great example of like people of color. This is, I think, woman-owned. And they're also very active in the social justice realm, being activists.
Yeah, and providing access. Delicious vegan.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Mexican.
Pretty cool.
So, yeah. try them out, try the vegan life. Just be aware of so many delicious things that you already eat that are vegan, like fruits or even like French fries.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Potato. Like, so many things. Yeah. Just don't get stuck in that mind for the reason. I mean, if that's your excuse, if you just don't want to do it because you're not ready or you're not in that stage yet, like, yeah,
that's fine.
Okay, that's fine. But if your justification for not being vegan or not trying to minimize or reduce the suffering of global warming impact or like whatever it is, how do you start the sentence? If your justification then just know that you might have a remission.
Yeah.
And we would be happy to give you more insight on that and provide you many recipes. There are like now so many recipes online, so many vegan accounts.
It's just
so many
a learning curve.
Books. Yeah, it's a learning curve.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's rewiring the brain.
Rewiring. That's the first step, like awareness and then rewiring. Once that happens,
then it's like bam, bam, bam. So easy.
Yeah.
It's like you don't even consider it. It's like, do you miss this? Do you miss this? Like, no, I haven't even thought about that.
In my experience, when I get to this point of like, ooh, I know chiles en nogada. I want that. And especially during this time, because it's like a Mexican seasonal thing.
Okay.
That's like a chile, like a poblano pepper, typically filled with picadillo, which is ground meat. And then this has this like nutty cream that is like almonds and pomegranate and like all of these flavors and it's the colors of the flag because it is green and then the cream is white and then the pomegranate is red. And it's usually around this time, like fall. And I just take as I go. I'm like, oh, I'm craving Google chiles en nogada receta vegana. If you do it, you'll find
it's there
so many, like so many crave that before you that were vegan and there are eating that and eating that that like you're gonna. And that's for every food. Like, all of the food that I like, because I love. I love Thai, Vietnamese, I love Mexican, Italian food. Like,
all the cuisine. All the cuisine has options and ways to do it without using. It really is amazing how creative people have been. And also sparks creativity.
Oh, yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stimulating for your brain and your just your... an exercise to open your mind to different possibilities and ways to do things or approach. So yeah, guys, go vegan.
Yeah, go vegan. This is the podcast. Intersectional Yoginis. Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. I guess we wrap up like that. If you want to find us, our IG handle is at Intersectional Yoginis, or if you want to find me, Hannah, I'm at Doing Yoga with Hannah.
I'm at Yes Mela Lope. Also, you can follow my account at Spiritivism. It's a collaborator. What's the name? Not collaborator, but like co. What's the term?
Collaborator.
Yeah, but there was another someone that you look for only like when you need like advice. There's
mentor?
A name. You always say the wrong word.
I always say the wrong word. As much as I try to be on the same page, you know. Sometimes I'm not.
That proves that we're like so
different. It's like our brain
what? It's like, oh, we like, I don't know.
Well, we know.
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
We know. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a limbic system. It's talking. Regardless of what's coming out of our mouth.
We're connecting at other levels. Sometimes yes. Not with words.
Or it's hard. Okay, yogis and yoginis. We love you. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste, probably in the next episode.
Next episode.
We've heard.
Oh, yeah. Check out Zero. Yeah, that's fun. That's just us. All right.
We are. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Intersectional Yoginis podcast.
If you liked this episode, please rate and share. If you didn't like it,
please don't go rating.
You can find us on Instagram at
The Intersectional Yoginis.
Namaste.
Namaste.